I always suspect our guest has a clone because I don't get how she does the volume and quality of the work we see and hear for Roots Sports Northwest. She writes. She's an analyst. She's a founder of Talk Sporty to Me, sideline reporter for the Seahawks. We only have so much time on Twitter. It's at Jen Talk Sports. Jen Mueller, always a pleasure. How's life treating you?
Thank you. Wow, you do make me sound like I do a lot of things. I like this intro. I think my bosses need to hear this one. No, it's fun. It's good. And you know what? A Friday rolling into a big weekend of games? This is exciting.
Well, if it ever surfaces with your boss, I do archive all of this, and I do post it on my Twitter feed.
Yes.
If you need a little bump come evaluation time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you for that.
By the way, I know a lot's happening, but I got a hit on the Mariners. Parting with third baseman Kyle Seager. I mean, if my math is correct, you've covered the Mariners basically his entire career. Jen, I'd imagine it's been a rare day when you showed up at the ball yard when Kyle wasn't at the hot corner. So, you know, just personally, professionally, what was your reaction when you realized he's not going to be there anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's hard when you cover a guy that consistently over that many years. I remember when Kyle came up as a rookie because I had already been covering the team for a few years at that point. Here's what I'm going to say. Number one, he was as wide-eyed of a rookie as you could possibly get. And Shannon Dreyer and I, who does their radio, will talk about this. And he got called up. He got sent back down. But when he came back, it was like he had learned all the lessons. And sure, he still made mistakes, but you know, it was so interesting to watch him grow up as a person and as a man, not just as a player on the field. Number two, covering the team as long as I have, you really appreciate the consistency. You know, you appreciate the guy who can go out there, who can play through things, who consistently played through, you know, every game of the season. I did write him a thank you note at the end of the year, and I just said, it has been such an honor to watch you grow as a human being, and his family is lovely. So I will miss Kyle Seager terribly, and I hope that he finds a good landing spot so we can keep watching him play.
Yeah, you know, aside from 2019 when he was injured, I don't think he played less than 155 games. So
no, sounds about right. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I trust you on that one. That sounds about right.
You know, and it was a terrific season. We'll keep an eye on what Jerry DePoto has up its sleeve. But, Jen, I want to get to the Kraken. Here's what I'm getting. I'm curious if you're witnessing the same. As somebody who's been an NHL fan since they're a kid, being from New York, it's not so much the folks who are already fans of the NHL, but sports fans who are really following it for the first time and just realizing just how amazing this game is and getting hooked.
You know what? I think you're right about that. And I think part of it is the marketing and the branding of the Kraken. And that is not a knock on the product that they're putting on the ice. But we know for sure that right now their jerseys are selling just incredibly well. They set records for the number of jerseys and merchandise that they have sold by an expansion team. They've sold sold record number, you know, amounts of merch since all of the logo and everything was released. So I think some of that is you are getting people interested just because they like the name, they like the look, they like the logo, they like the covers, the colors. And then when you sit down to watch a game, I mean, you know this, it is 20 minutes of nonstop action.
Right.
You cannot do anything for the 20 minutes of the period. Like, you can't go anywhere. You can't get up. You have to watch everything. There's a good and a bad thing. If you're used to watching football or baseball or basketball, right, you are hoping or you're expecting the play to end. The play never ends in hockey. You have to be tracking what happened, you know, that hit against the boards on the defensive end and then the transition and the neutrals. You have to be watching to see what set everything up. I think you're right, and I think people are finding out that this is a really fun sport to watch, and it is incredibly fun in person.
Yeah, my buddy calls it, you lack the B&B with hockey, the beer and bathroom breaks. Yeah, you have to find them.
It's You know what's funny is that is the reason they have a 20-minute intermission. I'm convinced of it, right? Like, why do you have two halftimes in this game? It is longer than an NFL halftime, right? Like, why? Because everybody needs their chance to get up. Yeah.
It's awesome. Talking with Jen Mueller, Root Sports. So as far as the Seahawks, it looked like the season might go south when Russell Wilson got hurt and the way the defense was struggling. But, of course, the NFC is a little thin. So 3-5 has you in there. Not logical to think Geno Smith was going to step in and put up Mahomes numbers. But, Jen, how would you rate, you know, with the Jacksonville win, two close games, his job kind of holding down the fort for his three starts?
What I would look at is the overall score in those games. And I know that it's easy to point to wins and losses and to say that Geno Smith was 1-2 in his three starts and that the Seahawks lost the game that he finished because Russell was hurt. Here's what I would point to. Those two losses, one to Pittsburgh, one to New Orleans, were both by 3 points. That Rams game was a score away from being tied. It's not like they weren't in the game. And one of the things that was talked about among the Seahawks, certainly, you know, the players and the coaches, but I think the fan base started to realize, too, the NFL is a league built on parity. And if you go back to the back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, you could look at just as many games those seasons that were decided at the last minute that were a 1 point or 3 point game, right? And you just didn't get the bounce that you needed. So while, no, you didn't expect Geno Smith to look like Russell Wilson, he had them right there in that game. You weren't out of striking distance on that one. You just couldn't put it all together.
Jen also does the Seahawks Insider podcast with John Boyle. So I was checking out the injury report, and so Russ's not even listed. So are we completely sure he's back in there Sunday?
Yes.
And by the way,
yes.
I'm going to hang on a big limb here, Jen. I'd imagine getting the Hall of Famer back has provided a nice positive buzz around the team.
Sure, it has. And look, I have watched him at practice all week long, and I had some concerns. I shouldn't say concerns. I had some questions about whether he would be limited on some of his throws. We know that he throws a great deep ball, right? But
oh, yeah.
Could you get enough on that coming off of surgery? Because the first things I saw him throw were more of like that 8 to 10 yard range, right? And he was zipping them in there just fine. I got to tell you, I didn't see him limited in any of his throws. He can make all the throws. Now, whether that extends Sunday at Lambeau Field in very cold weather, in a very difficult environment, you know, I don't know what the outcome is going to be on that. Here's the other thing that I'm going to point out, though. It's not just Russell coming back. First of all, Dee Eskridge is going to be back. That gives you a new element, and not just a new wide receiver, but think about ways that you can use Dee Eskridge speed in Shane Waldron's offense, in more of like a fly sweep sort of a thing. Here's the other thing. They made a change at center 2 weeks ago in the Jacksonville game, and Ethan Posick is now in center, which helped solidify everything across the offensive line. And yeah, I know it was Jacksonville, but you did exactly what you were supposed to do, and you beat up on a bad team. I think having Ethan Posick at center and just the way that he commands the huddle, the offense, you know, that line, I think that helps take a little bit of pressure off of Russell on Sunday. And I think you see the offense potentially taking some big steps. Now, I know that that's a fairly bold prediction for a man coming off of surgery four weeks ago. But I think that there's a lot going in the Seahawks' favor. And while it starts with Russell, it doesn't end there.
You know, I thought it was interesting you brought up the offensive line, because especially when you get to November, it's nice to be settled maybe. And I know they held Dwayne Brown and Gabe Jackson out of practice just because they're vets. And you mentioned Ethan coming back from injury, Brandon Shell, Damian Lewis. So in essence, the NFL, a war of attrition. Accurate to say this might be the healthiest and most stable they've been up front all year.
You know, I think that is a fairly accurate assessment. Yeah, and I think when you think about Brandon Schell, he's been battling an ankle injury for most of the season, and I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, how's the ankle? He's like, honestly, until I can just rest it over the bye week, it's not going to get better. That is a large man walking around on a joint that really hurts, right, and ligaments that really hurt. I think you're right on that one. And I think they've had this entire week. They went into the bye week on a high note, knowing that they could accomplish a lot of different things on offense. I think that helps everybody have a more productive bye week. You know, you get Russell back, you get a couple of pieces. They won't have Chris Carson. Pete Carroll said that today. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that they are healthy and I think they're ready to go.
And the last thing I want to get to, I mean, obviously they're playing at Lambeau. We saw the pack with Jordan Love hang tough against Kansas City. And obviously, we're thinking Rodgers is going to be in there.
Yep.
They're really good defensively. So what's the word from the coaches and players as far as facing this Packer team under the assumption it's going to be number 12?
So there's two things. One, on offense, you're probably not going to get a lot of explosive plays. That's just not what the Packers defense allows. You are going to have to be willing to take much shorter yardage plays. So 5 to 7, 5 to 8 yards, and just methodically work your way down the field. If you are patient enough to do that, it should lead to results. On the other side, you have got to figure out a way to take one element away, whether it's the running game or whether it's Davante Adams deep. And that run game with the dual threat at running back, I don't know which one. I think you probably try to stop the run game first, but you have to recognize that there is very few things you could throw at Aaron Rodgers that he hasn't already seen. The benefit is Bobby Wagner, the middle linebacker, has, you know, a lot of experience too. But you need to make sure that you don't jump the gun. Aaron Rodgers does not have to throw it when that play clock gets down to 1 and, you know, or to 2 seconds, right? Don't jump the gun. He's trying to get you to jump off sides. Cover your guy deep and try to take away that run game.
Well, that is a well, you and I have got it all figured out, so no problem.
I mean, if they just did what we said. You know what? I'm going to say this, though. Put this on your list. Turnovers is going to be a big deal in this game. The Seahawks are the best in the league at taking care of the ball. The turnover differential looks about the same between these two teams. They've just gone about it in very different ways. There is opportunities there to capitalize on Green Bay turnovers and special teams. I think that that's going to be a big turning point in this game, especially if you're considering it's like 38 degrees and maybe an inch of snow on the ground.
Right. Folks, it's going to be a great game. She's Jen Mueller, generous enough to take some time for her loaded schedule. Keep up on Twitter. The handle is at Jen Talks Sports. She'll be working this big one in Titletown. Jen, I always appreciate your time, insights, and love for what you do. Be well, travel safe, and as always, I look forward to talking again soon down the road.
All right. We will talk again soon.
Have a good one, Jen. Take care.